Hello, everybody. It's Heidi Lucky, and I'm hanging with the homies. We're back at the boys' cottage today, and guess who I've got with me today? I am so excited. Angel Camarino. Angel, how you doing?
Just peachy. Heidi, how are you? Good to hear your voice.
Oh, honey, it's so good to talk with you as well. Well, I'm going to be asking you the same questions I've been asking everybody else, okay?
All right.
All right. First, how old were you, or what year was it when you went into AGL?
I believe it was 1950 or 51. I was 3 years old, I believe.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, so you started in baby house, huh?
Uh-huh.
Okay, and how long were you there? What was the total length of time?
Let's see. Oh, no. Oh, God, Heidi, I think that's going to be a guesstimation on my part. I believe Sister Colette was the baby house nun. I think I was here for 3 or 4 years. Well, until I turned 6 or 7. I think it was 6 because I flunked second grade.
No way.
Yeah, I was really an idiot. I think I partially still am.
Oh, no. So how long were there total at AGL?
I think 16 years, 16, 17 years.
Wow. Now, do you know why you were placed there?
I think it was a academy to groom me for the White House, but it never worked out, so I kind of got stuck there.
No President Angel, huh?
Nah, I don't think it was in the cards.
No,
I think what happened was, you know, I think everyone knows the story of AGO and back then in the 50s and Mayor Daley and Cardinal Stritch. I don't know how many people remember Cardinal Stritch, but he was the one that I don't think he confirmed. Well, yeah, he did confirm me. And I had my last serious conversation with someone that was high ranking in the Catholic Church with Cardinal Stritch. You know, he actually remembered all our names.
Really?
Now, how he did that, Heidi, I'll have no idea. But when he came around on Christmas, or when the Knights of Columbus had their little function there in June, I think it was, for Corpus Christi, okay. He never hitched in remembering who he was talking to.
Oh, that's amazing. That's very cool. Well, do you know if the courts placed you there? Do you know what your story was as to why you went?
I went there basically... I think that was pretty nebulous. The whole background behind my being picked up, it was like a story out of Hollywood, you know? Catholic Charities was driving around a neighborhood over there in Halsted. They saw this kid, little infant or toddler, sitting in a open window, and they just went over and, I guess, asked a few questions. I don't know. But long story short, Heidi, they ended up just swooping me out of there. And when my mom came back from the door and asked my sister where I was, they had no clue. And next thing they knew, they were, I guess they had a court appearance because they found a child left unattended. Oh, I remember what it was. My mother had an accident. All right. She was in a hospital. And when she came to from the anesthetic, they basically were alerted because the first thing out of her mouth was, where's my son? How's my son? Because I was the newborn, the youngest out of 3.
Wow.
And so Catholic Charities did a drive-by, observed the situation, deemed it necessary to intervene. I ended up at AGL that day. Oh, no, wait. I think it was Maryville. And from Maryville, I went to AGL or something to that effect.
Okay. Now, you said sisters, were they at AGL?
No. Oh. I don't understand that at all, but no. My 2 sisters were considerably older than me.
Okay.
My youngest sister was, she was like 13 years older than me. And my next oldest sister was 15 years older than me, I believe.
Wow.
15 or 16.
Okay. I didn't even realize that you had older sisters. That's crazy. Are you still in contact with them?
I'm the only one surviving the family.
Oh, wow. Now, I have to ask you, this is so cool. What is your very first memory of AGO when you arrived there?
I remember Father Evans's Buick, that 56 Packard or whatever it was called. I remember that. And for some reason, I went from the office to baby house, but everything is shrouded in darkness. You know, it's like, ooh, I don't know where I am. I didn't understand the language. I didn't know anything. I was just like, what, 3 years old?
Wow.
I had no clue what was going on.
When you went from baby house, what cottage did you go to? What cottage were you in?
Well, baby house, I went to 29, Sister Carol. Sister Antonine was a reliever. Oh. I don't know if you remember Sister Antonine. She was an eighth grade math teacher, I think she was.
Okay. Obviously, you had a big guy when you went and you moved up.
Daniel Lettman.
You remember who it was? It's so awesome.
Daniel Lettman was the backbone of my youth. I mean, any positive memory, anything that had a glimmer of positivity to it, I owe it to Daniel Lettman. He was a boy of few words.
Uh-huh.
But for some reason, Heidi, he was the perfect example for me. He taught me how to make my bed. Awesome. No one else would take the time to show me how to do those little corners that Sister Carol was really addicted to.
Uh-huh.
Daniel Lettman took me under his wing and just coddled me. Well, he didn't really coddle me. He was pretty strict, pretty determined. You know, you're not going to get by just being weak and stupid. Right. You got to pick up the pace and get in a race.
That's awesome. Now, what do you remember your day consisting of? Like, walk me through a schedule of your day, a day at AGO.
Chores. Everything was surrounded about chores. You had a member of the demerits list.
Yeah.
Everything was geared towards being functional. Well, I was going to say proficient, but being productive, you know?
Okay.
I think a lot of that was, I don't know. I think they held it, the nuns held that pretty close to their habit, you know, in terms of where the kids were, what they were doing, and who they were with.
Like, say you got up in the morning and then what?
Let's see. Well, wash your face, do your morning constitution, you know, get your locker in order for the first inspection or whatever. And usually it was the big kids that did the inspection, or sometimes Sister Carol would just walk around and check things. I forgot what she was checking for, like clean hands, or I forgot what her routine was, but everything was geared towards a timetable. When you wake up, it was a certain time. When you went to church, it was a certain time. When you had breakfast, certain time, same time.
Right.
Everything was relegated to a routine that you fell into. It was pretty easy.
Well, that's cool, because they told you what to do and you did it, basically, right?
Well, yeah, you had clothes laid out for you. You had your locker. You had your summer wear. Everything was pretty much laid out for you. Now, whether or not you understood it at the time, given that you had a big kid, that pretty much helped you along the way in terms of fitting in and belonging and not sticking out, I guess.
Now, when you got older, then you turned into a big kid, right?
No, they did away with that somewhere around when I was in fifth and sixth grade.
Oh, so you didn't have a little guy?
No.
Oh.
They did away with that.
Okay. I didn't even
know that. Or at least our cottage did. I don't know if the other cottages maintained it. We had three house mothers. Sister Carol was the first, then Sister Damien, and then Sister Philip.
Okay.
Then for relievers, we had Sister Antonine, Sister Kevin, and I forgot who the other one was. Maybe Sister Kevin was cool. You know, that sister, they all were cool, except for Carol. Carol had an attitude. Carol was in a different stratosphere.
So who was your most favorite nun? Which was your most favorite?
Well, it'd have to be Sister Damon. She taught me how to play baseball.
Oh, nice. That's very cool.
She didn't teach me how to play baseball. She taught me how to slide.
Cool.
Sister Damien taught me how to do a takeout slide, avoid the bag slide, and slide and get up and continue running slide.
That's awesome.
She was awesome. But she had five older brothers. When you saw her older brothers, you understood everything you needed to know about Sister Damien. She was the youngest and the only girl.
Oh, yeah. Now, what about priests? Who is your favorite priest?
Father Evans.
Evans. Okay. Any reason why?
He was fair. He didn't like me. I don't blame him, but he was fair.
Okay. Now, you had a strange situation because you were at baby house and stuff. What about visiting Sundays for you?
Well, they were all common Sundays for me, unless, you know, like the CFC, the Catholic Family, or CFM, rather, Catholic Family Movement.
Uh-huh.
And that's when I had Norbert Mueller, the head violinist, the lead chair for the Chicago Symphony Orchestra. And that was my, what would you call it, my surrogate parent, I guess. Through him, I had such exposure to items and events that, quite honestly, I would never normally be involved with. Thanks to them, I think I was exposed to a richer part of Chicago than most people would experience, especially from
Sundays,
that school.
Your visiting Sundays were good then.
I had no complaints. I need no complaints. I mean, it was a little lonely at first, but I think I understood the routine. You know, I understood the reasoning behind it.
Uh-huh.
But quite honestly, there's so many other things going on in your life at the time. Whether or not you understand your situation and position matters almost insignificantly compared to just dealing with the day-to-day mechanics, you know?
Right. Oh.
The trauma, the drama, everything on a day-to-day basis. I mean, I'm glissading over the less appealing aspects of home life.
Uh-huh.
Because that's, for all intent and purposes, I think that's relegated to the personal level. But regardless, we're all impressionable young individuals in a very interesting environment, to say the very least.
Oh, definitely. Well, what do you remember about Christmas at the home?
Christmas was 10 tons of gifts. The Christmas parties, Knights of Columbus and the ladies who scratched my belly. everything was, my God. You know, I really complained a lot when I was there. But in retrospect, Heidi, we were spoiled.
Oh, that's awesome.
We were just down to the bone spoiled.
That's a first. You're the first person that said that. I love that. That's so cool, Angel. Thanks.
I mean, the nuns were a little bit older than us. I didn't realize that till I was out of there. But the nuns were a little bit older than us. And who in their right tree would take on the daunting responsibility of looking after, what is it, 32 kids?
Oh, yeah.
Of different ages, different ethnic backgrounds, different scenarios, and different temperaments.
Oh,
who
definitely.
In their right tree would undertake that endeavor?
For sure. Not me.
I would run the other way and look for a cliff to jump off.
Okay, what about the food? What do you remember about the food at AGO?
I'm a home kid when it comes to the food. I loved it. Ate that stuff up.
Did you?
There was only one meal that I could not get myself through. And Sister Carol had this thing that if you didn't finish your plate, they put a cover over it, and you had that meal looking at you the next time you sat at the table.
Oh, okay.
But I had a deer toe, and there was no way I can chew that. So, like everything else, I had a chore. One of my chores was a utility sink in a scullery. So I waited for the opportune moment, and I pitched that little deer toe out the window.
A deer toe? What is that?
Belongs to a deer.
For real?
Yeah, I call it a deer toe. I couldn't chew it. You know, I couldn't, and I damn sure wasn't going to swallow it.
Oh.
And I knew there was no meat on it. So, but Carol just, I don't know how many meals I had that looking at me, but finally I had the opportunity and I pitched that little booger.
Okay, what about activities? What did you do? Like sports, music, what did you do? Like when you were in grade school, high school, whatever?
Well, I did it all. I did football, baseball, track, softball, swimming. I was a diver in swimming. I was in a band. What else?
What did you play?
I played snare drum. Then I moved to bass drum. Seen a lot of transitions with Mr. Sovnik and Sister Sylvester.
Yeah.
But we had some great. Mr. Sovnik was worth his weight in gold. Only I didn't appreciate him one bit. Maybe a little bit there, Heidi, but not nearly as much as I gave him credit for long after I was gone from his tutelage.
Now,
he was instrumental.
Do you still do music?
No.
Okay.
I regret to say that's one thing that I didn't pick up when I left AGO.
Oh.
I didn't maintain it.
Do you have any stories about any music class that you were in or anything fun that might have happened?
Oh, I got the most embarrassing situation I can ever hope to impart, and I'm sure everyone remembers it. So I'll just lay it out there. I did a solo routine at De La Salle Hotel in Chicago one Christmas.
Okay.
And in my estimation, it was wrong from the get. I don't know whatever prompted the powers to be to showcase me in front of God and everybody on a snare drum. But there I was at the De La Salle Hotel with a snare drum. And I was doing this little solo. And I had I don't even remember if I got an applause for it or not. I was so bloody nervous. It never ended. From the time I was on stage to the time I was off. And regrettably, or thankfully, I don't remember anything that went on in between the time I took the stage and the time I got off. I don't remember anything. But that was my one embarrassing public moment.
Oh, no.
It was horrendous. Heidi, I'm not telling you the nth of it. It was horrendous.
It was bad.
I was glad I had a very, very serious tan, and no one can tell I was blushing.
Oh.
To beat the band. I kid you not.
To literally beat the band.
Oh, I was embarrassed, mortified. I could walk under a door without having it open.
Oh.
I could walk out. That's how low I felt.
Whoa. Oh, my gosh. Now, what about sports? What was your favorite sport?
Oh, favorite. It would have to be baseball. That's the one I was the best at. Diving, I think I was a ham, you know?
Uh-huh.
No one else wanted to be a diver, and I hated doing laps, so I was diving. But there was this one diver when I was diving. He was a senior when I was a freshman. His name was Kenny Sitzberger. And I remember his name, Heidi, because he went on to, Sapporo in Japan? I forgot what year that was.
Wow.
But he got a gold medal in diving, and I dove against him when I was a freshman. Wow. Yeah, I took second, but the difference between second place and first place was a universe. He was that he could get spring out of concrete.
Wow.
This guy was just unbelievable to watch in his execution. Wow. By comparison, I was not amazing. I was antithetical to the door slamming, you know? Uh-huh. Once you get over the noise, there's nothing else to really notice.
Right.
But and Kenny Sitzberger was class.
What position did you play in baseball?
Third base was my favorite. I loved the hot corner.
Okay.
And Tommy Fitz was the shortstop. And talk about range. That guy had range like an antelope. He just covered everything in the infield. Everything. He made up for me even at times. No, Tommy Fitz was the business right there, plain and simple. You can quote that one.
Oh,
you know, I'll put
awesome.
That in the Times.
That's awesome. I love it. Okay, now, if we're off of sports, we got to get on to my favorite question. Are you ready?
What's your favorite question?
My favorite question was, did you have a girlfriend?
Oh, my God. You're not playing by the rules. This is not fair. I'm calling this foul. Yes, I claim foul. Yeah, I had a girlfriend. Betty Fredericks. Yeah.
Oh, I love it. You named
her. Betty Fredericks. Then I had Josephine Berkich.
Okay.
And then I had Francine Williams. Was it Francine Williams? I forgot. The number one was, to me, the one that I was with the longest, Betty Fredericks. Okay. I think it was almost... Wow, 5-6 years we were together.
Wow, that was a long time.
Yeah.
Did you ever get to see each other beyond the fence?
No. Wait, it was an Auschwitz. Come on, it was AGO. And the fence was metaphorical, okay?
Okay.
Jesus, you make the home sound like a concentration camp.
Okay, what shop were you in?
Oh, I was in, first I was a janitor. I remember that. Then I was in an auto shop. That was the last one I was in auto shop. That's the one I really loved.
Okay.
I think I did a small stint in print shop, too.
Okay. Do you remember, who was there, who your teacher was or whatever?
Alan Bickle was the head guy, the supervisor over at the powerhouse.
Okay.
And my favorite worker there, my favorite boss of all time, Jim Everett, he was there.
Jim Everett was where?
He was in a powerhouse.
Oh, okay.
He was the handyman.
Okay.
He's the one that taught me the basics of electricity, of concrete, of you name it. He took me to his place right there. He lived on a property in a little house.
Uh-huh.
And I had the privilege of seeing his house. He had tools in there because I guess what his claim to fame was, he repaired covered bridges in his day. That was his prime job.
Wow.
And he had tools I've never seen before, never even knew existed, and in mint condition. He kept everything.
That is cool.
In mint condition.
That is cool. Were you in carpenter shop?
No. So wait. No. Norm was, wasn't he?
I know he was in paint shop.
Oh yeah, paint. Norm was in paint.
Yeah. Were you ever in bakery?
No. Martin, he was the baker. I used to swindle fresh loaves of bread and cinnamon twists. I love the cinnamon and apple turnovers and Rockies. Rockies. No one in the world knows what a Rocky is. No one, I don't think.
Well, I know even in a couple of these get-togethers that they've had some of the gals, they got the recipe and they've made them, but everybody says they're not exactly the same as they were at the home.
Man, I don't know how he did it, but Marty... Come on, we were 700 or 835 kids of all walks of life with all different issues and stories. I think Marty, there was two Martys. I think the Taylor guy was Marty too, if I'm not mistaken. But those guys were just the penultimate gentlemen. They must have seen a zillion kids come and go. But Heidi, their manner and their attitude, always above board, always. I can't say a single negative thing about any of them. In the laundry room, in the bakery, in a tailor shop, all the people there were memorable in a positive sense.
Wow.
And I mean that.
That is so cool. I'm so glad that you mentioned that. Because, yeah, I've been hearing all different stories of all different. Oh, my gosh. It's been crazy.
Oh, undoubtedly you will. But you have to take into account who's saying the story and what's the purpose.
right, what's behind it. Yeah, and everybody exactly. Everybody was, you know, whatever they were and stuff, and then wherever they were treated according to how they were. So it's just different for everybody. I know it's very crazy. Now, you had buddies and people you hung out with, you know, like in the summers and on the weekends and stuff like that in grammar school and in high school. So I wanted to know, what is your most memorable adventure?
Well, we walked to, I don't know if it's the most memorable, but what's really stood out, we had a seniors day and we walked from AGO to Forest Preserves.
Where was that?
Straight. You walked on Devon Avenue until the sun sets. Because that's how far west you walk, you know, and then you get to the state park, and then John T brings the bus over, the Bluebird, and you have lunch, and then you walk around and talk goofy and act goofy for couple hours, and then you walk back to AGO.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, well, I think that was like 26 miles, and I could easily, I don't know if it was 26, but I could easily forget that, but it was a good, memorable experience.
Well, now, do you remember Camp Villa Marie?
Who doesn't?
Now, what was your experience there? Because I've been hearing so many different stories about that place, too.
Well, I discovered that when we went on Noah's Ark, and they started rocking a boat, I just discovered that I had a phobia of drowning, whatever, hydrophobia,
I guess.
And I went ballistic when I was on that boat one time, you know. Please don't rock the boat. Please don't rock the boat. I don't want to die. I don't want to die. It went on for like it seemed an eternity. And I eventually lived, got back to the pier. And I don't know if I jumped off the boat and hugged the pier or just crawled to my little hut and disappeared for the rest of the day. Wow. And then we had that inner tube out in the water. It was like a hot dog and a bun. But you can take the long, this thing was like huge. It was rubber or latex, whatever you call that, inner tube material. And it had to be about 25, 30 feet long, I think. And it was like supported on both sides of the pier. And you play king of the hot dog, you know, who can stand up and keep it one man up and everyone else down. Well, we had a lot of fun there. Camp Villa Marie was pleasant memories, upside down, inside out, every year you went.
Oh,
every year.
That's awesome. Now, did any particular incidents occur at the home or something that you remember that you could share?
We had a tornado once in 56, I think it was. I remember looking out the sky of the bedroom in Couch 29. It was like 2-3 o'clock in the afternoon. Heidi, it was blacker than black outside. And the nuns were talking in hushed tones, and they're giving us advice like, hug the tree outside. Now, who in her right tree was going to go outside in those conditions to hug a tree?
Hug a tree.
But that's what we did. We went and laid down in the wells of those trees around the yard and wrote it out.
Wow. I haven't heard. That's really weird that you remember that. And you know, we briefly just talked about for a second the chores. What chores did you have at AGO?
I'm very good at shining shoes. Yes. I am your boy. You got 30 pairs of shoes you want spit shine? Put me in, coach. I don't smoke. Yeah, I could do that.
That's the chores that you remember the most?
Yeah, well, that's the one that stuck out the most. Oh, that, and Sister Carol had this thing of, she didn't believe in the tornado, that buffer. She put rags on our feet, and we hand-buffed the floor.
Oh.
Even in the locker room, we hand-buffed the floor.
Wow.
That's Sister Carol. Thank God for her. Now I know how to keep a place clean.
Oh, that's awesome. So what year did you graduate?
June 11, 1967.
Okay. The next question is, talk me through graduation and beyond. What happened after you graduated in 67?
Everyone else had plans. Okay. I have to embarrass myself even further, Heidi. I didn't really have a game plan. You know, I was lucky to graduate from the state of Illinois. You know, I didn't think I had enough credits. They ushered me out or shoehorned me out of there. And that very same day, my mom and stepdad came, picked me up, and we spent the day together. And later on that day, we flew to New York. And I don't think it must have been like a good 5-7 years later before I even got back to Chicago in one way or another. Wow. And subsequent to that, I think I kept my visits to Chicago very, very few and far between.
So you went to New York then pretty much right away?
The same day. Wow. Same day I graduated.
So what did you do work-wise, or what did you do after you left and went to New York?
Well, that's interesting. I was a class secretary, so I figured that'd be a good shoe in to apply for Wall Street, but That was the first of my rude lessons when I got to New York. I found out that I had no chops for what they were looking for in any labor market, you know, any. I just picked the top of the iceberg and thought, I'll try my wares in Wall Street. But I thought with 65 words per minute in typing and 110 words per minute in shorthand, I figured I could land an entry-level position.
No.
Think again, Angel. It was like you needed 110 words per minute on typing and over 200 words per minute just for entry-level shorthand. Yeah, so that was my first rude awakening. So I found a position with P. Lorelei on 41st Street. I don't know if it's still there. And I was I took care of vending machines.
Oh, okay.
I just reported sales and kept them stocked in different markets. And that lasted for about maybe, I'd say 9 months. And then I got a position with the post office. While I was at P. Lorelei, I took the civil service test and I got qualified for postal exam and or postal worker. And I was doing pretty well at postal working. I was a subcarrier. And then about... I say 2 months into that, I was at a wedding reception and somebody was eyeing me there. And Heidi, I was getting kind of antsy. I was with my sister, my oldest sister, Myrna. She said, that man's been eyeing you for some time. I said, that place is dark. Let's get the hell out of here. He came over and said, are you Angel Camarino? I said, yeah. Well, yeah, who's asking? He goes, well, I'm at the Selective Service Board and your name is coming up.
Oh, yeah, no.
Well, I went home, told mom. Mom says, well, what color do you like? So what do you mean, what color? So what color uniform? So I'm like, well, I think they all come in green, don't they? The first place I went to was the Marines, and they said, too short. I went to the Coast Guard. They said, we got a 10-year waiting list. And I went to the Air Force, and they say, yeah, you'll do just fine.
Wow. So you ended up in the Air Force.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. How long
I enlisted
were you
in the Air Force and I was at basic training and I got my draft notice.
Wow. So how long were you actually in service?
6 years.
Wow.
I did my inactive active. So I did 6 years, about a little over 6 years.
Where were you stationed?
Basically, I did my overseas in Thailand. My main stateside location was North Carolina. And from there, I just went all over the world because I was in, I guess you would say, like a support squadron. If there's any problems anywhere in the world, we were on 72, 24, or some unbelievable alert status, just in case in the event of. So we had to be mobile. And I went to Germany pretty regularly, extremely regularly.
You're a world traveler. That's very cool.
We were the Greyhound service for almost all the interests of the U.S. over there. Anyone wanted to go anywhere, we flew goat's milk in India. We dropped off some supplies and we even spent Christmas Eve in Paris, France, when
nice.
De Gaulle was there. We weren't allowed in France. We did an emergency landing to get in there.
Wow. Oh, my gosh. That's pretty memorable.
But I was an aircraft mechanic in the military, so that afforded me a lot of leeway, a lot of latitude. And then I ended up being a scheduler. So I worked in the tower, and I scheduled airplanes and maintenance, and it was pretty lucrative. I really enjoyed it.
Wow, that is so cool. No wonder your brain works so good.
My brain? I mean, that single cell machinery that's on the ebb? Yeah, well.
Okay, now what? Did you ever get married?
Yep.
Okay.
Twice.
Okay. Can you talk about
that? Can we end this conversation now, Heidi? Can we please end just now? Or do you want me to bare my soul further?
Now, that's up to you, honey. You can talk about what you want. You don't have to talk about everything, okay?
All right. No, I think, like everyone else, I married for love, giving credit to my mates. I can't take anything away from them. If the truth be told and known, I was not of a mind whereby I can appreciate that part of my life at that point in my life.
Okay, so now you look back and you do.
Oh, God, in so many ways, Heidi, yes.
Wow.
In so many ways. It's like I've perfected how to say I am so deeply sorry in so many different languages.
And mean it.
And mean it.
Yeah.
Always mean it.
Wow.
Got enough of these platitudes and what would you call it? Weenies, as you put it. I like that. I love that word, weenies. That was good.
Now, what about kids? Do you have kids?
I have one daughter that I have from my first marriage, and she's almost as old as me now, for Pete's sake. Two stepkids, and I adopted one.
Oh, wow. That's so cool.
I adopted one. She's the youngest. Brooklyn.
Wow. Now, are they close by you or are they far?
No, I'm the only one. See, all you people are in the Midwest.
Okay.
I'm on a different planet. All right.
Well, we know that.
I consider New York to be pretty much anesthetized from the rest of the world considerably. We don't have a fence, but I think we do. I just haven't seen it yet.
Now, did you tell your daughter about AGO?
Now, how do you tell anybody about AGO except for the name? The story's there. I'm sure you understand this by now. They are so phantasmagorical as to defy any form of logical explanation. So for the most part, I only talk to home kids about the home.
So there's really nobody in your outside life really that knows about where you came from.
Well, I don't think many people are really that interested in where I came from. They want to know where I want to go. Get me out of here. No, for the most part, I don't find people that are interested in, I don't want to play it down. AGO was special to me. It taught me so much. The lessons I've learned there, I still apply today.
Can you think of any offhand that you'd want to share with everybody that you learned from AGO?
I think my number one claim to fame that I attribute to AGO is my organizational skills, my ability to organize on the fly critically. Critically, that means a certain amount of critical thinking, aspiring to understanding what's going on and how to best deal with it. I think I picked that quality up hand over fist from AGO, from Sister Damien. But she did it all from an athletic, from a sports-minded point of view. Very. My entire philosophy at the time was centered around sports. In fact, I still have the axioms up in my bathroom in terms of honesty, integrity, strength, honor, loyalty, discipline. They're more than just attributes. I think they're mainstay into your character, into your attitude, and how you approach people, how you interpret them, how you interpret yourself. I learned all that from AGO.
That's very, very cool. So what are you doing now, and what did you do for work for the most part, you know, from then to now or whatever?
My world changed 2008 when my mom died. My world changed irrevocably, just in a flip of a hat. And then I just stayed here, looked after my mom's property, got it from under the throes of the creditors and everybody else. That was my main focus for the longest time once I got here.
So what were you doing in 2008 that you dropped in order to take care of your mom's properties?
I was working at a biodiesel plant in Ralston, Iowa, population, I think, 100.
Oh, no,
maybe,
for real?
Maybe a few more if you want to count the tall reeds and the corn stalks. I think, yeah, you might have 101, 102.
Okay.
But it was a small town, and it was a very, very fresh perspective on energy and energy production. So I was really enthused about that at the time. Shortly before I was coming out here to take care of my mom's business is when they decided to go belly up for some reason in terms of the biodiesel. I think they had some expansion or growth pains they were experiencing, and some people were let go. I was one of them, but I already was on my way to New York, and I didn't know about the news until I was here dealing with my mom's funeral, and I found out that that whole position back there was dissolved. So I made the most here. I stayed here. I turned into a landlord. I lucked out, Heidi. I got the world's greatest tenants. Oh. I have three units that I maintain and three great families that I support here in my house.
Oh, that is awesome. Well, you know what? We're getting close to the end of the time, so I have one other question for you.
Straight ticket Republican. No, go on.
Do you have any messages or words of wisdom that you would like to pass on to the homies?
Oh, my God. Hey, Heidi, I have to hand it to you. That's one of the greatest questions I've never been able to be prepared for.
Wow.
No. That's advice. You know, No, Heidi, I'm going to have to take a back seat on that one because advice, I'm very cautious about giving and I'm very serious about taking,
Any messages for any of the guys or girls?
Oh, I miss everyone. I miss the memories. I miss the laughter. I miss the play. I miss how we were all one. And I guess my greatest claim, my greatest expression of AGO is I never knew prejudice while I was at the home. It's only when I was outside of the home.
Wow.
But inside the home, I never knew prejudice. It took me flat-footed when I was in the military, when I first was exposed to it. But no, Heidi, in all my years there, all 16 or so years, I never was exposed to blatant prejudice. Wow. And I'm sure we all have our biases,
right,
and our own favorites.
Right.
But in terms of name-calling or pigeonholing or corralling into any kind of less than favorable group, no, I can't say that. I think I have more good memories than bad memories. It's just that the bad memories are very bad.
Oh, but well, if you want to share any of those, I'm good with that too, honey.
I know you are. No. I'm going to talk to Norm about you when we hang up here. I'm going to have serious questions for him. Oh, God. I got a list. Yeah, it's a good one. It's good.
But you think that the home was a good place to be overall?
Well, let's see. I can answer that in the inverse. If I wasn't at the home, I wouldn't be here.
Yeah.
I know that for a fact. My younger sister, Minerva, had a son before she died. And my mom adopted that nephew, her nephew. So he's my, what would you call him? He's still my cousin, but now he's my adopted brother, and he is still alive. He had a very, very different road than I did. Everything you asked about me, he never had a chance to experience. Sports, music, nuns, school, structure, discipline, focus. He didn't have that. For the most part, he raised himself. So the difference between him and me is night and day.
So he's kind of lost.
Well, he's not lost, but he didn't have the benefits that I had. Okay. Let's go back to the Christmas parties, the Camp Villa Marie's, the tours, the band concerts, you know, all the little aspects of home life. It was just awesome in retrospect. I don't know too many kids who would experience what we experienced.
Good point. That's true. I agree with that 100%.
And we were sheltered. We had John T. Evans watching our back and Father Niemeyer, for Pete's sake. Oh, the right tree is going to mess with them too. You gotta have a death wish to even approach them. No, we were sheltered, Heidi. Wow. No bones about it. Yeah, we had it rough. But I think every kid has it rough. I really do. I don't think there's such a thing as a $1 million childhood. It's what you make of it and how you remember it.
That's awesome. See, those are words of wisdom.
You call that wisdom? You must read John Walls, too. You read John Walls? I know you do. Don't lie. I know you do. You got some of that stuff written down on your wrist, too, I bet.
Yeah, how'd you know? No.
Yeah, well, takes one to know one.
All right, sweetie. Well, you know, we're getting to the end of the time, and I just really, really want to thank you so much for telling your story.
That's it? That was easy. I didn't have to bleed once.
Well, and by the way, just so you know, if you haven't heard, Sister Damien, she did an interview with me for Christmas Eve.
Wait a minute. You still talking to Sister Damien?
I just did her interview, dude. I'm going to send you the link so you can go listen to it. It's amazing.
Oh, I didn't even know she was still around, Heidi.
She's down in Donaldson. She's at the Mother House.
I think her birthday is November 10th, if memory serves me correctly.
Oh, wow.
I'm pretty sure it is November 10th.
Yeah. So, no, I did that at Christmas time. And you mentioned her more than anyone else. And I thought I better mention it to him if he hasn't heard these podcasts, because Sister Damien's was awesome. It was her and Sister Pauline. And the two of them together was a hoot. We had a blast.
Sister Pauline, oh my God, that's rich.
Oh, yeah. So I found out why they became nuns and how they ended up at the home. So that was really cool to hear their stories. It was different.
Oh, you know? My God. What are you doing, investigative journalism?
No, that's next.
That's pretty good stuff. Hey, go back to that book. If you find someone is writing a book about the home, I'd be glad to more or less pick up a copy.
Absolutely. Well, honey, well, like I say, we're at the end of the time, so I'm going to go ahead and cut this short, but I am so appreciative, and I really love you, dude. You're awesome. Thank you so much for doing this.
Katie, thank you from the bottom of my soul for the opportunity to do so. Awesome. It means a lot to me.
All right, hey, well, you take care of yourself, and we'll be in touch again, okay?
Okay, Heidi.
Take care.
Sounds
Angel.
Good. Add a norm.
All righty. Bye-bye.
Yeah, I'm going to talk to him. Oh, when I talk to him. Bye, buddy.
Bye. Oh, man, that was so awesome to talk to Angel. It's been a while since I've seen her talk to him, and I just want to thank him again. That was just a great interview. So you guys, we're back at the Girls' Cottage next week. More fun and laughs with the homies. Hanging with the homies. Girls' Cottage next week. God bless y'all. See you on the other side. Bye.